All right, welcome. On this call, we're going to be talking about the tool of process mapping and demonstrate actually how to make a process map. So Ashwini, before we jump into actually doing the map, creating the process map, I want to invite you to talk a little bit about the role of process mapping in awareness practice.
Well, first, that a process map is actually a disidentification tool. You know, just like recording and listening, it allows us to get the contents of conditioned mind out of the mind and somewhere that it can be viewed in awareness. That's the first thing. And then second is, when we're in our process of suffering, we can't see that we're in our process, right? We just talk from within the process. And so by capturing the feelings and the voices on stickies, which will tell you what it's about, how we do this in a process map, what we're doing is training awareness to be aware of when we're in our process or when we're in the map. So we have a chance to disidentify in the middle of our process and step out of the suffering loop. That's how we train awareness with the process map. We also tend to live in stories, right? So if I ask someone, what is your process, it's most likely that you're going to tell me the tell me a story. And if there's a story, there's a narrator, right? So telling a story keeps the story alive. So when we process by telling stories, we're actually not assisting ourselves to see the process. We're just keep telling the story. So the process map is a tool by which the narrative of a story is broken up into almost like a script, and making that movement from telling the story to creating the script allows the narrative and the story to be broken wide open and to see how ego is maintained in how ego is maintained by telling the story. And in fact, whoever the narrator is also being maintained by telling their story, right? So we have to we have to find a way to bring everyone in the story into some position by which we can see all the players. And the tool gives us vocabulary to describe a process rather than tell a story, right? So when you we take all of what's going on in the mind and put it down on stickies, then we can start to describe our process in terms of the framework of of the practice, rather than just telling a story. So when you get everything out on a process map, you can see what the beliefs are, what the assumptions are, what the voices are saying, what the self-hate is, what the aspects of ego are, what the projections are, what where duality is operating. So instead of telling you my process as a story, I can tell you my process in the language of the components of the suffering process. Right? And that's a good way to work with it, because that's the other benefit of doing a process map, because it gives us a lot of information. Usually when we tell a story, we might use language like, oh, I was very frustrated by this, or when I did this, something else happened, or something like that, right? So the story is an abstraction. When we say something like frustrated, what does that really mean? When I tell a story, I think I know what it means. But if we look at, for example, what the voices are saying, what the messages are around frustration, it's actually very informative because, for example, the voice actually says, I can't let her know how rejected I feel when she does that, and so I'm frustrated. The word frustrated doesn't give me that information that that language of that voice just gave me, because it's got to do with rejection. It's not that I'm just angry about something, right? So now I have a way to work with information that I don't previously have access to if I just am in the story and not the script version of the process. And so what's frustrating for me is not may not be what's frustrating for you, but I won't know that until I break apart that label into the actual language of the voices. So it gives us a really good way to work with process on so many levels.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, as you're talking, Ashwini, you're really pointing at how deep and wide the practice that becomes available to us springing from what we see in a process map. And I just wanted to point out that today in this demo, we're going to be looking specifically at a process map, how to create a process map, and for people to really sort of take all of what Ashwini just pointed at, and as we sometimes say, park it in awareness, to realize that all of that richness is what will come out of working with the process map, and that today we're going to be looking specifically at the process map. We encourage you to stay with that tool in particular. Just map it, you know, in the way that we're going to lay out. And all of what comes from that will naturally come from that. And so you'll, as you process map, as you continue to work with it, as you keep, you know, recording and listening with it, that sort of thing, you can bring the inquiries and the insights that come out of that to radio shows, to groups, to your Zen awareness coaching, to all the different forums, to know that that will just naturally come out of it. And so today we're going to be looking specifically at the mapping piece. All right, thank you for all of that. So choosing a topic. So when you're choosing a topic for a process map, you want to choose something that's really familiar to you, something that happens regularly. So, you know, for example, what, you know, I always run into this feeling of, you know, wanting to be the best parent I can be, but how do I discipline my kids without feeling like I'm being mean? And or maybe I struggle with my coworkers at work. Why is it all up to me? Why do I have to do all the work? So something that's happening really regularly for you and creating suffering, something you're familiar with, something where you really know, yeah, this happens and then this happens and then this happens and it's just over and over. That's the kind of thing you're looking for in mapping. We're not trying to solve anything, right? So you're not choosing an issue that you want to, you know, fix, or you're simply just choosing an issue in order to elucidate the process of suffering, to see how the process of suffering happens for you in particular. And of course, as we always say in practice, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so if there are a lot of different things you could choose, great, pick one, you know, put them in a hat and choose one. It truly doesn't matter, because all we're doing in choosing what to map is we're looking for something that will give us that texture that Ashwini was just pointing at, really show us in particular how is that process of suffering happening. And so Chris has chosen a fictitious something to map that we're going to use to demonstrate. And Chris, do you want to say a word or two about what that is?
Yeah, sure. And so I have this friend, and we do a lot of things together. So we sometimes exercise together, maybe go hiking, and some social things too. And there's a place where just a lot of stuff comes up for me when we're together. And he has this habit of making these changes to our plans kind of on the fly. Mm. So maybe he changes where we're going to meet or the time a little bit, you know, make it a little later, a little earlier. Where we might start. So just things like that.
Okay, perfect. That sounds like it happens regularly. It creates suffering for you. It just goes round and round. So that's a perfect thing to map.
Yep.
So
and
as
actually,
we're mapping. Go ahead.
Well, I actually have a particular instance in mind.
Oh, great.
So
okay,
so
that's going to be really helpful. Yep, and it can work either way. You know, if Chris were really familiar with that process and it kind of happened, you know, every week they do something or every month or whatever it is, and he's really familiar with the steps, you wouldn't necessarily have to have a particular instance, but it can be really helpful in order to get the particular language to think of, you know, well, it just happened last Saturday when the, you know, or that last, you know, fight I had with my partner or whatever it is. A particular instance can be really helpful in bringing up the language of it. And so Chris, as the person mapping, what he'll be doing is writing on sticky notes the what's going on inside his head as the suffering is unfolding. So we're not going to be noting, you know, what anyone else is doing. So he's not going to be saying, and then my friend said, blah, blah, blah. And we're not going to be putting any action into it. You know, I drove to the, you know, place we're going to hike, or And we're also not going to be writing down any of the insights that he's having around it. We're simply writing down what happens, what is the conversation in my head as the suffering process is going on. That's what's going to be written on those sticky notes. And we're going to put the sticky notes, or Chris will in this case, on a big piece of paper. And it's important to use those tools, the sticky notes and the large paper. And that's for because you're going to work with it over time, right? People will work with process maps for long periods of time, right? See more and more and more about it. And as you see things, it's really easy to add things. You can just put another sticky on there. It's easy to move things around. Oh, I realize there's actually something else that happens in between there. So you can move two stickies and put another sticky in between. So really, do use the big paper and sticky notes to do it. So the two questions that I'll be asking Chris as we go through the map are, so what's the conversation in your head at that point, and what happens next? And, of course, in this case, I'm assisting Chris. Likely you'll be doing this on your own. So you'll be asking yourself those two questions. All right, so what's the conversation in my head at that point, and what happens next? And those will be the two questions that walk us through the map. Now, as Ashwini kind of alluded to, there are a number of common pitfalls that happen for a lot of us, or difficulties as we're going through the map. One, the huge one, is sliding from mapping it to narrating it. And so Chris is going to purposefully slide into some of those pitfalls at some points so that we can model what that looks like, and I can assist with showing how to bring us back to the mapping so that people can get a clear distinction of what we are doing and what we're not doing in process mapping. And the other place is what Ashwini alluded to, where sometimes I just, there's just an emotion. You know, I feel really angry, or I feel completely overwhelmed, or I'm depressed. And I'm not aware of what the conversation is at that point. And so, again, Chris will model some of those places for us so we can get some assistance, some handles to, well, how would I assist myself to find the language that's happening in those places? Okay. All right. So, Chris, I'd invite you to start us off. And a note about starting off. Sometimes people get stuck in, well, I don't know really how to start it, where to start it. And similar to picking a topic, it truly doesn't matter where you start, because often a map will be cyclical. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but because it does happen over and over for us, you could really start anywhere, and it would eventually, all of the language would come out in the map. And so, Chris, what occurs to you as a good starting place?
Well, with this one, it's pretty obvious. So I get an email from my friend with an invitation to go on a hike. And that's where it starts.
Okay. So you get the email with an invitation to go on the hike. And so at that point, what's the conversation in your head as you're receiving that email?
Well, I absolutely love to go hiking. And so I check my schedule to see if there's room. And if there is, then I say yes, of course, and then I get excited about it.
Okay. So the first thing would be what? Is it a sense of, let me see if I'm available then? Is it something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think probably first is something like, great, I'm in. And,
okay.
I love doing this kind of thing. And then, check on the schedule. So, I hope there's room in the schedule for this.
So great, I'm in, sounds like the first thing, that would go on the first sticky,
okay,
right?
Got it.
And so as Chris is writing that on the first sticky, I'll underline that we just did it right there. That was a mini example of going from narration to mapping, because Chris kind of said, let's see, I get the email, and I love to hike, but then I'm not really sure. Well, I got to look at my schedule, and of course, that's, what we want is not a narration. That's not what's going to go on the stickies. Like, I get the email from my friend, and, I do love to hike, we're looking for what's actually going on inside of his head. So I kind of facilitated him around that, and he was able to see, the very first thing that happens is, great, I'm in. And then after, great, I'm in, Chris, what's next in the conversation in your head? Sounds like something around looking at your schedule.
Yeah, so in this particular instance, check schedule and everything was fine. So I said yes. We established a time, kind of nailed that all down.
Okay.
And then, you know, all of that seems fine. And then the next day, I kind of get this this sense that it might be helpful to go on a hike before we get to that actual hike with a friend's name is Jack. Before I go on that hike with Jack, that I go out and perhaps do a little bit of a warm-up hike, since the hike he's asking me to go on is pretty long. And so it seems to me like doing that shorter hike might be a good idea. And so there's this talking to myself about adding that into the schedule between now and when we're going to go.
Okay. All right. And so what's that, when you say talking to yourself about adding to that schedule, how does that sound in your head? Is it, yeah, what's the
That would be along the lines of, you know, I really do enjoy it more if I'm in good shape.
Okay, great. So that goes on the next sticky. You know, I really do enjoy it more if I'm in good shape.
Yep.
And I will say, as we're going along, if Chris were actually mapping this, of course, he'd be writing down all of this stuff onto the stickies as he goes. We're not necessarily going to leave those long pauses in order for him to write everything, but I will leave a pause just to so that it's clear that's what's going on the sticky, because it's important to see, you know, that that's what we're doing. So, okay, so let's say you've written that on the sticky, Chris, and what happens next?
So then from there, I decided I'm going to go ahead and go on this hike, this other little short mm-hmm. hike. And so now I've got two hikes scheduled. And so maybe a couple days goes by, and I get another email. And so this is from Jack again. And he says that he's invited another friend to join us. And so at that mm-hmm. point, you know, I'm just not thrilled about it. And so
You're
I
not
can,
thrilled about it, and what's the, how does the not thrilled sound inside your head?
That would be along the lines of, you know, I was just so looking forward to just being with Jack. I really don't want anyone else along. This other friend is so slow. You know, he takes a picture of every flower. you know, I'm not sure I want to go. So, yeah.
Okay,
I feel really
great. All right, so there's it.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, feel really crestfallen. And there's quite a bit of language in there, it sounds like, right? So, wow, I was really looking forward to this hike. You know, I'm not sure I want to go with this other person. I mean, he's so slow. He has to take a picture of every flower. And it sounds like that's, then there's a sense of feeling crestfallen, which is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crestfallen, but I'm not sure I want to go.
I'm not sure I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so after, I don't know if I want to go. What happens next?
The next thing would be irritation. So I'm just totally irritated at Jack, and I can't believe that he keeps doing this. You know, he keeps throwing me into this place I don't want to be. Lord knows that that happens enough in other places in my life. You know, like at work, there's a guy there who's just totally has a total amazing knack at doing that, which is totally crazy given all the stress that's there. Irritation.
Okay, so irritation. And you just gave the language for the irritation, didn't you? Right? So I can't believe he's done this. You know,
yeah.
I can't remember all of the stuff. And then, Chris, there was a piece where you were saying that this happens with a guy at work, too. And I couldn't actually tell, is that the conversation that happens in your head? Oh, my gosh, it's just like so-and-so at work where he,
You know, probably not, Jen. I think that's kind of going off somewhere else.
That was more narration.
But that feels more in the narration range. It's really that, you know, he always does this. I think along with that is I just can't count on him. Why doesn't he ask me first? You know, that kind of thing. He's done this before. I should have known better. You know, those kinds of things. So, yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So all of that would go on this group of stickies, like, he's, you know, he's done this before. Why doesn't he ask me first? All of that. Okay. So that's what you'd be writing on those stickies. And then what happens next?
Then I feel hurt. And, you know, with that, I just feel hurt. I'm not really aware of hearing anything in my head at that point.
It's just a feeling of hurt.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
And so, Say more about the hurt.
You know, I think some of it is that all of that conversation about the irritation kind of takes away from it. But when I really kind of clear that away a little bit, I can get to that place where I can feel that hurt just experience it a little more directly. Or just be able to see that it's there seems really helpful.
And is there a meaning behind it, Chris? Gosh, it feels like he... Or...
Yeah, you know, when I really settle into it, it'd be something like, he doesn't value our relationship. That would be one part of it. And, it's painful in some way. So it's almost like there's something wrong with me. That it's not, that's kind of how it feels,
Yeah, perfect. So what we just modeled there was, you know, very likely, Chris isn't really hearing a voice in his head at that point that says, gosh, there's something wrong with me. I mean, he may be, but he may also not be, because we talk sometimes in practice that for some people, and in some instances, it's very clear what voices are saying, right? We actually hear that conversation in our head. But other times it is just a sense, just a feeling. And the word Chris used for that in this case was hurt. I just feel hurt. And what I asked him is, I sort of drew him out with that, asked him to clarify, did it have a meaning? You know, what does it mean that this friend is changing those plans? And what we found out was, well, essentially means, you know, he doesn't care about me. You know, there's something wrong with me that he does this. And so that, even though I may not hear that actual conversation, that is the, quote, conversation of the suffering that's happening. And so that we do want that on the stickies. And so when you get to a place like that, well, I just feel hurt. You want to go deeper and see, well, what's the meaning behind that? What's the implied message there? And put that down on the stickies.
That is one of the things we were talking about, right? Because feeling hurt is a universal label. But how I feel hurt is important to get to, because that's how I'm being controlled to suffer, right? Because then in this case, it's valuing me as a friend or spending time with me that is the hurt for Chris. Because if I felt hurt, it might just simply be that I wasn't consulted. How come he didn't ask me before he invited someone else, right? Mm-hmm. That's a very different thing to work with than I'm not valued.
Yes. That's really helpful. Yep. And those, I think, are the sorts of insights that begin to come out of the process of mapping. And to realize that as we're learning to map, we're learning to see things in a particular way. We're training ourselves to be outside the process in order to see it. And then insights like you're just pointing at, Ashwini, can begin to happen with that.
Yeah.
And so what happens next, Chris?
Then there's this whole conversation just starts up about whether I'm going to go or not. And that one's actually been kind of fun to listen to, because I just had some great insights on dualities and how they work and all that stuff. And so on one side, there's a, you know, I can hear, I don't think I want to go anymore. You know, I'm just not excited. I think at this point I'd rather do something else. I don't want to waste my time. That feels like on one side. The other side is, well...
Okay, and then let me just interrupt you there, Chris, which we may need to do even with ourselves as we're mapping. You know, whoa, slow down, Jen. Let me get all that. And so that all of that one side of the duality, you would get all that language on the stickies. Right? So I don't think I want to go anymore. I mean, I've lost my enthusiasm for it. I don't want to go anymore. So all of that. And then it sounds like that kicks in the second half.
Exactly. And so on the other side is, you said you'd go, so you better follow through. Jack is counting on you. You don't have a reasonable excuse to bow out. That's what I hear on the other side.
Okay. You have to go. I mean, you don't have a excuse to bow out. You said you would go. you got to go.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens next?
Then next, I just get hammered for wanting to bail. And what I hear there is, you know, come on, what kind of a friend are you? It's not going to be that bad. You've survived worse. Like that.
Okay. What kind of a friend are you? You've survived worse. So, and interesting to note that a lot of these stickies are going to be, are saying you instead of I, right? And that will be the case throughout a process map. Some of this language we hear in our head will say, God, I can't believe you, you know, you this, you that. And many of the stickies earlier in our map were I, you know, I don't want to, I feel hurt. I don't want to do, you know, why does he? And so either, however you hear it in your head, that's how you want to put it down on the stickies. Okay, what happens next?
Next, I just feel pretty awful. It's kind of depressed. Not easy to come up with language in that place, what I actually hear. Feels real low energy.
Low energy. And so again, if we did what we did with the hurt process and looked at when that low energy, that kind of depression is there, what's the sense? What does that mean?
That might be something along the lines of why do I bother? It always comes out the same.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Why do I bother? It always comes out the same. And I'll note that in both cases, Chris has been able to come up with the language from the, in the first case, hurt, in the second place, depressed. But if you get to a place where, gosh, I really don't know, I cannot see what the language is here, just write it on sticky. So write hurt on the sticky and then watch really closely in real time in your life as you go around. When that part of the map is triggered, notice. I mean, truly, have a little thing of stickies with you and just take dictation as you're hearing what the voices are saying at that part. And what happens next, Chris?
Then next is the next day, I get another email from Jack, and he says his friend can't make it. And I can just feel the energy kind of bouncing right back in, and I'm a happy camper. And, you know, I can just feel that, I can hear that conversation as I'm talking now. It's like, I knew he'd come through in the end. Yeah, the weather's looking absolutely perfect. This is going to be really great. And, you know, it puts me right smack back where I was at the beginning of the map, in that place of excitement.
I knew he'd come through in the end. The weather's perfect. Oh, this is great. This is going to be so good.
Yep.
You're right back at the start. Until, I'm guessing, the next, quote, disappointment happens, right? The next example of this.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you, Chris. Anything else you see? Any other places we haven't mapped yet? That sounds like that was the end of the map.
There's always more detail to it, but that certainly covers the structure of it, the kind of the bones of it. So,
And that's a huge benefit of working with a process map. So, you know, it can be fun to sit down in a session, you know, taking however long it takes, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer, to sit down and map it out, and then to keep that, right? Put it up on a wall or have it at your desk or whatever it is, and to watch, because as Chris points out, there's always going to be more detail to it. There are always going to be other layers and other nuances, and that's the beauty of a process map, is you can just keep adding to it. And as I think we've demonstrated throughout the call, and especially as Ashwini was talking about, from that place, we begin to see so much about how the suffering happens, which gets us outside of it, which is exactly where we want to be, right? The process of suffering happens, but I don't have to suffer with it. I don't have to be identified with it. So, Ashwini or Chris, anything else that we have not covered?
So one thing, Jen, might be for me to read the map, read through the map, so folks can get a sense of what it sounds like after we've completed that process. So here we go. First, Nikki says, great, I'm in. And then I'll just read through. I love hiking with Jack. We're such a good match on the trail. I hope there's room on the schedule for this. Looks like there is room. So I can say yes, this is going to be great fun. I do enjoy it more if I'm in good shape. When last time overestimated my abilities, and Tuesday might be the perfect day for it. Oh no, I was so looking forward to just being with Jack. I really don't want anyone else along. His friend is so slow. He takes a picture of every flower. I'm just not sure I want to go. I can't believe he keeps doing this. He keeps throwing me into this place I don't want to be. I just can't count on him. Why doesn't he ask me first? What kind of a friend is he? I should have known better. And then just move along with the stickies here. He doesn't value our relationship, and there must be something wrong with me. I don't think I want to go anymore. I'm just not excited about it. I'd rather do something else. I don't want to waste my precious time. You said you'd go, so you'd better follow through. Jack is counting on you. You really don't have a reasonable excuse to bow out. Come on, what kind of a friend are you? It's not going to be that bad. You survived worse. Why can't you just relax and enjoy yourself? Why do I bother? It always comes out the same. I hate this. I just don't have the energy for this kind of thing. I knew he'd come through in the end. The weather is looking perfect. This is going to be great. And then that puts me right back at the beginning of the map again. And Ashwini, did I hear you wanting to make a comment?
So we did this process map with very specific content, right? This particular incident, which happens a lot for Chris around this friend. But as we work with the process map and extract the beliefs and assumptions and the self-hate and what the voices say, what we get is sort of a content-less version of a process, which then you can start to see happening in other places. And that's the other benefit of the process map. You want to be really specific on the content level because the suffering is very specific for you. And then once you start to look at it, you realize that you can really see the thread of a process that happens in that content that then highlights how suffering happens to you in other places.
Yes. Yes. So helpful. So Chris might, as he begins to get more and more familiar with this particular thing, such an argument for going deeper and deeper and deeper, very likely what will naturally happen is he'll be going about his life. He'll be in the middle of a situation with his, you know, whatever, his dentist, and realize, wow, that's the same exact process that was happening around Jack, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even in the process map, that point at which I was deciding to go on this other little hike beforehand, at some point I can get it that the same process is going on there, whether I'm going to do that or not, and the things that interfere with it might be just the weather rather than another person, or you know, some other person I'm in relationship with that you know, has something that they want to do with me, you know, so it can all, you know, there can be little sub-loops that reinforce the larger loop as I'm going through.
Yeah. Yes, exactly so. Yep. Well, Chris and Ashwini, thank you very much. That was very fun, and we hope that it's been helpful to folks as they journey in their process mapping.